The romantic theology of the Inklings represents a cross current of disciplines. It's theology and literature focused on creative imagination.
I'm William O'Flaherty, and this is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. In addition to being author of a couple books related to Lewis, I'm the creator, editor, and the host of this show. Today I have a couple of guests, one a familiar name to All About Jack, and the other who is on the program for the first time, but who is very familiar with the writings of C.S. Lewis. They are both here primarily to talk about a unique opportunity that Northwind Seminary is offering, a doctorate degree in Romantic Theology of the Inklings. First, let me welcome back to All About Jack, Charlie Starr.
Thanks, William. It's great to hear your voice.
And then a first-time welcome to All About Jack to Michael Christensen.
Hello, William. Glad to finally meet you.
Well, now, let's first have each of you briefly share your background related to Lewis and teaching.
Well, I've been reading Lewis since I was in college, and that means I've been reading him for a very long time. We won't say how many decades that is. I've been teaching Lewis then for about 30 years, and writing about Lewis for 25 years. I have two books that I've written on Lewis. The most recent one of those is The Faun's Bookshelf, which focuses on Lewis's theory of myth. I also wrote a book on Lewis's mysterious light manuscript. I've written some chapters for anthologies, spoken at some Lewis conferences, and all around just am enamored and in love with the writings of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, and of course, the other Inklings as well.
I also read Lewis in high school and in college, first Screwtape Letters and then Mere Christianity. I think reading those early in my life kept me in the church, and it helped me make sense out of Christianity. In college, I majored in English literature and was drawn to the romantic poets, Coleridge, Wordsworth, Blake, etc. And I took a course in the literature department on C.S. Lewis and his circle with Professor Glenn Sadler, a professor who had met Lewis personally, who knew Clyde Kilby at the Wade Collection at Wheaton. And Glenn Sadler ended up supervising my honors thesis, which became my first book. It featured two unpublished letters from Lewis that Clyde Kilby gave me on scripture. And that's how I met Walter Hooper and Owen Barfield, who wrote the foreword to my book. And that early book I wrote right out of college, in college and right out of college published, became really my most successful book. I've written 11 books, and that one continues to outsell the others, and it's still in print. I also was contributor to the C.S. Lewis Study Bible. In terms of teaching C.S. Lewis, I studied in seminary with Paul Homer at Yale Divinity School, who wrote a book on C.S. Lewis called The Shape of His Faith and Thought. And he often compared Lewis with Soren Kierkegaard. And so I ended up doing a master's in philosophical theology at Yale, and then went to Drew University and received my PhD there, worked with a professor by the name of James Payne, who got his DPhil at Oxford University and who met C.S. Lewis back when he was a student. But Dr. Payne at Drew was teaching C.S. Lewis courses for most of his career there. And when he became academic dean of the graduate school, he, as his student assistant, as his teaching assistant, he gave me his course. What a privilege to be, to inherit an existing course in the course catalog, in the university catalog. So for 20 years, about every other year, I would teach modern lay theologians, C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, Owen Barfield, Charles Williams, even Dorothy Sayers was included in our modern lay theologians class. So I have a 22-year history of teaching Lewis, and longer than that in reading, I guess, every book Lewis has written.
Well, now, we mentioned that the degree program in Romantic Theology, and we're going to have you give some information about Northwind Seminary in a moment, but Let's first get a definition of what romantic theology is on the board. Michael, how about we have you start with your answer to that?
The romantic theology of the Inklings represents a cross-current of disciplines. It's theology and literature focused on creative imagination as a portal of divine revelation. So it's a collaboration of the Inklings as writers, and they produced a body of work worthy of the name. They didn't necessarily always use the term romantic theology as what they were about, but intuitively, that's what they were working through with their images and metaphors, stories, mythologies. C.S. Lewis defined it this way. He said, "A romantic theologian does not mean one who is romantic about theology, but one who is theological about romance, one who considers the theological implications of those experiences which are called romantic." And if you read Wordsworth and Coleridge and Keats and all the different romantic poets, if you're like me, you'll start to make notes of what do they think are the romantic experiences that are worthy of the name. And so, you know, there's seven, right? There's seven elements or experiences, if you want to do the numerology on that. Quickly, you know, beauty in nature that points to the transcendent. Two, a childlike innocence, childlike faith and vision. Third element could be the elevation of the common man, of the human person as a microcosm of the divine reality. Fourth element, divine paradox, bringing into conjunction opposites like reason and imagination. And how do these work with each other as a paradoxical way of appropriating truth, the beauty, and meaning? There's a fifth element, the pilgrim romantic quest, the quest for utopia or heaven. Sixth element, I'd say, would be the proper role of poetic imagination as an organ of truth and beauty and meaning. And then seventh element I would identify would be images, good images. Like Barfield says, we have to save the appearances because truth comes to us, reality comes to us in certain images, that you can work the images as you work out concepts and ideas. Well, if you take those seven experiences, commonly called romantic experiences, and you theologize about them, if you reflect theologically about them, then that's what I would consider romantic theology. That's what the Inklings did. They took normal experiences in their romanticism and they worked them and reflected theologically, not into a system or a systematic expression, but in their stories, in their mythologies, in their Christian faith, they articulated what they experienced. What did I leave out, Charlie?
Well, to the wonderful explanation of that Michael gave regarding romantic theology, I would just mention two things. First is, by way of resource, one good place to look for folks will be in Lewis's The Pilgrim's Regress, and go and look at the afterword to Pilgrim's Regress. It's the afterword to the third edition, where Lewis explains various uses of the word romance and romanticism, and then explains exactly what he means by that word and how it was about a certain set of experiences that he had throughout his lifetime, experiences that were evoked by beauty in nature or by fantastic literature. So that's a good resource for people to use. In addition, then, I would say that a way to think about romantic theology is it is a theology that is not limited by Enlightenment thinking. The Enlightenment of the 18th century drew Western culture into thinking in terms of abstraction and in terms of reason. And it was very limiting because it left out other modes of knowing. Knowing by the imagination, knowing by experience, knowing by spiritual, even supernatural connection. And so a romantic theology as given to us by the Inklings, takes into account all modes of knowing in a total person. And that is what I think is unique about this program. I have said before in a variety of places that I think what is missing, especially from contemporary evangelical Christian thinking about an understanding of truth, a theological understanding, is a theology of imagination. And that has had lots of negative effects on the church. And trying to restore then a total theology about the nature of thought is that includes an understanding of how imagination functions. I think that's critical. I think that's very important. And that's why I love being on board with this program from Northwind Seminary.
Well, I hope that gave everyone a good overview about what Romantic theology is. So let's go ahead and get more specific then about the program that you have at Northwind Seminary. Michael, give us some details about this doctoral program.
Well, we believe that the program in Romantic theology at Northwind Seminary is the first of its kind in theological education. You can go to other seminaries, other schools, other graduate programs and study Romanticism, or you can study systematic theology or pastoral theology, narrative theology. But the cross current of literature and theology under the rubric of Romantic theology and Inkling studies, I know of no other place that offers a doctorate in such a field. So what we offer is a doctorate in theology and ministry. The doctorate in theology and ministry is a professional research doctorate. It's really an academic alternative to the PhD degree because it's directed and examined in the same way as a PhD course of study. The doctorate in theology and ministry requires 36 credit hours of systematic study and original research that leads to a doctoral treatise and an oral defense before a faculty committee. So really, this degree is ideal for those who desire independent research supervised by doctoral faculty and connected to core disciplines in theology and literature with a direct application to the practice of ministry. So this degree offers lifetime learners a formative way to read the creative works of the Inklings and to do original research in the field of Inkling studies. And what's required are six core courses. We've devoted four courses to the four major Inklings, C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, Charles Williams, and Owen Barfield. Then we have a course focused on the Inklings as a group and their collaborative work in doing Romantic theology in their works of art and poetry. And then we have a course called Other and Honorary Inklings. There are other and there are honorary Inklings like J.K. Chesterton or George MacDonald, Dorothy Sayers, Warren Lewis, Jack's brother, even B. Griffiths, who was one of Lewis's students and a fellow Inkling. And of course, Walter Hooper considered himself an Inkling, and he was. He went to the meetings toward the end of Lewis's life. And I personally consider Walter Hooper one of the Inklings worthy of study. So these six courses and then the research phase and the doctoral thesis writing that follows constitute this doctoral program in Romantic theology that is, I think, compelling for people who would benefit from a tutorial approach, an Oxford-style tutorial approach to individual learning and independent learning. And then we come together as groups for group discussion. So, for example, we have four students working with Charlie and I right now, and we meet weekly on Tuesdays at Northwind as a group to provide papers, to give our topic papers to each other. Oh, William, I should say that the courses in this program are organized around four key topics. So you would do your reading and writing around four key topics and demonstrate your competency in these four topics in the Oxford tutorial style of preparing a topic and delivering it to your tutor and being getting feedback from tutor and others studying the same topic. So it's really an online version of a Oxford style pedagogy.
Yeah, very fascinating. Well, obviously, Charlie is one of the faculty, but go ahead and talk to us about the other faculty and other people that you have lecturing in the Romantic Theology program.
Our faculty in the program in Romantic Theology and Inkling Studies consists of four of us who are experts in our field. Dr. Charlie Starr, whose doctorate is in English, is our faculty member for Inkling Studies, and he's an author of 7 books, including The Fonz Bookshelf and C.S. Lewis on Why Myth Matters. And Charlie may or may not want to tell you this, but he's hailed as the world's leading expert on C.S. Lewis's handwriting. So he's a great asset to have. A second faculty member in Romantic Theology at Northwind is Dr. Crystal Hurd. She's our professor of Inkling Studies and Romantic Theology as well. And I love Crystal because she is a contributor of the chapter called The Enduring Influence of Flora Lewis in the book Women and C.S. Lewis. She offers a rare perspective on women and leadership in the all-male, Inklings group. Crystal also is reviews editor for Sensucht, the C.S. Lewis journal. A third member of the faculty in Romantic Theology is Terry Gillespie, who is in the field of history. He is editor, author, international speaker on C.S. Lewis and the visual arts. He brings in art as a way, as a portal to understand the divine nature. Terry's author of book 75 Masterpieces Every Christian Should Know, and also The Spiritual Legacy of C.S. Lewis, 2 of many books that Terry has authored. Together, Charlie, Crystal, Terry, and myself constitute the faculty in Romantic Theology. So when you come to Northwind, you'd study primarily with us. But we have distinguished lecturers also whose lectures we feature, who have delivered customized original lectures for Northwind. And these distinguished lecturers are experts in the field. And William, I know you know them all. We have Brenton Dickison, Serena Higgins, Owen A. Barfield, the grandson of Owen Barfield, is a distinguished lecturer for us. Bishop Seraphim Segrist, who's an expert on Charles Williams, Louis Marcos, Malcolm Geit, Carol Zaleski, and Michael Ward, and also Dinah Glyer. We have the whole run-up here of guest lecturers and distinguished lecturers who complement what the core faculty offer. So we think this is one of the highest quality programs one could enroll for here at Northwind.
Well, now let's go ahead and have Charlie join in the conversation. Tell us about the students in your program in Romantic Theology and Inkling Studies, Charlie. What has it been like for your students, and what will you be offering them in the future as well?
Well, I'll start by giving props to Michael for getting this program off the ground and moving so quickly. His motto when we first started talking about this only last summer was, if we build this program, they will come, echoing Field of Dreams. And immediately several students signed up, and as he said, we're working with 4. I'll mention just a couple who are already some folks of note in Lewis Studies. One is Reggie Weems, who has published some very nice pieces, including 2 never-before-seen Lewis letters, in which Lewis pointed out or specifically said that he was not a universalist, and Reggie is doing some other fine work as well. And then there's one of the best kept secrets in Lewis Studies, and that is Andrew Lazo, a secret only because Andrew, as wonderfully as he is as a Lewis scholar and a teacher, has done only a few key pieces in terms of his writing. And one of my goals as a peer of his, as well as an instructor, is to push Andrew to write a wonderful book that he is going to put out on Till We Have Faces, Lewis's last novel. Andrew is really quite the treat, and he will be lecturing for us and working with us once he completes his degree, and is already helping us out in many wonderful ways. Andrew was the Lewis scholar who pointed out that Lewis's theistic conversion actually occurred a year later than Lewis thought it did, and argued that successfully. And then he published the early Prose Joy, Lewis's first attempt at an autobiography, written even before he was a Christian, but after he'd become a theist. So our other folks are excellent too. It's just a delight whenever we gather together to talk about Lewis. And so I'm looking forward to seeing other students of Lewis and Tolkien and lovers of the Inklings come and join us in what is truly is a remarkable program.
I would add the two other students to our group that comes together every Tuesday for Tuesdays at North Wind and contribute. A fairly new to Lewis studies is Jessica Fulton Lee, who is an Anglican priest, and she is just bringing her love of Tolkien and Lewis and Narnia in particular to us, and is a rising star. As is Brian Roden, who is a missionary of sort, but an engineer by trade, and just a great young scholar who's just diving into the whole Inklings corpus with zeal. And so you'll be hearing more, I know, from Brian and Jessica in the years ahead as they get their doctorate. This is our charter class. This is our inaugural class. And so in the new year, in January, we'll be starting a new course. The C.S. Lewis course comes next, and we'll bring in some other scholars or some other students who'll be joining us in January. And there's room for you, listener, if you are interested in applying to the program. It's primarily for those with existing master's degrees of various kinds, because it's a doctoral program. It's designed as a doctoral program requiring a master's degree. But there is provision made for those who do not yet have their master's degree. You can apply to North Wind for a master's degree in specialized ministry, and then ask for a concentration in the Inklings and in Romantic theology. And you could take the same courses as electives that the doctoral students are taking as core courses. So there's room in the program for master's students as well as doctoral students. And also, there are non-matriculated students who attend North Wind. A non-matriculated student is one who is, in other words, a special student. They can take up to three courses without matriculating or coming into a particular degree program. So some people take our courses for the sake of the course. They get academic credit, and they can at some point use the academic credit they got in those courses toward their degree program once they are admitted into a degree program. North Wind Seminary is 100% online. It's open enrollment. The pedagogy of North Wind is that it's designed for individual students who work at their own time, their own place, their own pace, their own device. And yet we come together as a group, as a class, from time to time to discuss our papers. And so you get the benefit of both independent study, working with doctoral faculty, and group learning, peer learning, because of our meeting on Zoom on Tuesdays. So really, it's the best of both worlds. We're actually kind of creating a new way of learning for those who don't want a traditional graduate school or seminary context. Maybe you can't move to another location to attend school or get your graduate degree. Perhaps you don't like face-to-face learning all the time. So this is an alternative to face-to-face learning in a classroom, an alternative to a particular brick-and-mortar seminary or graduate school. And it's about one-fourth of the cost of most seminaries and graduate programs. So it's affordable, it's accessible, and it's a different kind of learning than Americans are used to. It's more the old world, you know, Oxford style, that is recast for the online postmodern era.
Ah, excellent. Well, now, Michael, let's go ahead and have you give a brief description in terms of more information about Northwind Seminary overall, maybe a brief thumbnail sketch touching on maybe beginnings, who's behind it, the tradition it's rooted in.
Well, the name of our seminary, Northwind, points to the breath of God, the dynamic movement of the Spirit, to orient the compass of our life to true north. North and northernness is what the Inklings were oriented toward. You know, the north kind of gives you the George MacDonald approach to where do you find God? God is found in the north. So we're definitely a seminary oriented toward orthodoxy and the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're biblically based. We take the Bible seriously and authoritatively. The founders of Northwind Theological Seminary are Methodists. So Rob Duncan, our president, Carl Savage, our associate dean, I'm the academic dean. All of us taught together at Drew University Theological School, which is a seminary in the United Methodist Church. We taught together for 20 plus years, and then retired about the same time and decided, really had a vision for starting a brand new 100% online seminary that would anticipate the new thing that God was doing in the world. You know, believing that the old paradigms, the old denominationalism is over and God is doing a new thing in the postmodern era. What is this new thing and how can we get ready for it? And how can we prepare ministerial leaders and lifelong learners for this new reformation, if you will? And so our pedagogy is different. It's a non-traditional approach. And we're grounded in the Wesleyan Methodist traditions. But we're broadly evangelical and broadly ecumenical because our roots go deep and our branches are as wide as the Inklings and their interests. So there's a thumbnail for you.
Okay. Well, now let's go ahead and have you share. And, of course, I'll have links in the show notes and the information as well about those in the audience who are interested in studying with you, with the other faculty at Northwind. How can they contact you and apply to the school?
Remember the term Northwind Seminary and just go to northwindseminary.org. We're an org, meaning we're a nonprofit organization. And you can find us easily online. You can also email me at michael@northwindseminary. And so we'd be happy to talk more. We can Zoom and discuss. Charlie's available to talk about the program and his role in it. And then there's an application process that you can do entirely online. There's some scholarships available. And again, don't let the lack of a master's degree hold you from applying. There is a master's program at Northwind that you can take Inklings courses and Romantic theology courses in. And then those who do have a master's degree in history or English or theology or religion, you're already ready to go full-fledged into the doctoral program in Romantic theology.
Okay. Well, excellent. Well, now, at the start of the program, we had each of you share a little bit about yourself, but let's take a little bit more time to have each of you share about, in this case, your books on Lewis and the other Inklings and your interests there. Charlie, let's go ahead and maybe have you start off with that.
Well, thank you, William. I have two full-length books on Lewis, and they are The Fawn's Bookshelf, focusing on Lewis's theory of myth, and Light, Lewis's first and last short story, Mysterious Manuscript with Mysterious Meaning. I have written then chapters for anthologies on Lewis, as well as essays and both popular and scholarly. I'm very interested in Lewis's epistemology, his theory of knowledge. I'm interested in Lewis and myth. I'm interested in how Lewis's ideas, how his theories affect the way we think about art, the purpose of art, how that can connect to the nature of film and how we read film. One of the things that I'm interested in that came upon me as kind of a surprise, but I love it, is something that Michael mentioned, and that is that I've become involved in looking at Lewis manuscripts. So how cool is it when you get to actually hold in your hand something written, something handwritten by an author? And I've been able to travel to several places in the world to see some of these major Lewis manuscripts. And the thing that I have developed almost by accident is an understanding that Lewis's handwriting changed throughout his lifetime, and that if you could map out the changes in his handwriting, you could then date manuscripts that had not been dated yet. And that has helped me not only date Lewis manuscripts, but discover Lewis manuscripts that had never been published before. Just this year, I co-authored with Brenton Dickinson a piece that published what we called the, We called that the Archangel Fragment, a sort of lost sequel to the Screwtape Letters, in which Lewis wrote a letter from an archangel to a guardian angel about how to watch over the person, the human that he was supposed to watch over. And Crystal Hurd and I will be publishing some unseen Lewis pieces here in the year to come. So it's just really fun to work with Lewis manuscripts and to work with his handwriting and that sort of thing. And some of that has been published. Mostly that comes out in scholarly journals and things like that, like Seven or Zanzucht or the Journal of Inkling Studies. But I do get a kick out of that, even if it doesn't get out to most folks to be able to see those sorts of things. I have found some really interesting things, made some really interesting discoveries over the years about those little bits and pieces on the edge in Lewis studies. Lots of fun.
Well, Michael, go ahead and tell us more about yourself, especially in relation to what you've written about Lewis.
Beyond doing the, of course, my first book, as I said earlier in the program, was C.S. Lewis on Scripture, His Thoughts on the Nature of Revelation, the Role of Reason, and the Question of Inerrancy. So it's kind of, in many ways, it's an academic book about Lewis's thoughts on the authority of Scripture, but written for the general intelligent reader in many fields about what was Lewis's view of the Scripture. Was he an inerrantist? Did he believe in the infallibility of Scripture? Did he believe in the authority of Scripture and its inspiration? And how does he distinguish those terms? And so in writing a book about Lewis's view of Scripture, we find that he believed in the full authority of the Bible, that it was fully inspired, but he fell short of saying it was inerrant. He didn't think that there was infallibility applied to every literal word and text and detail in the Scriptures, which upset a lot of evangelicals. So that's probably why my book was so popular out there, is because it took on at the time the battle over the Bible and showed that Lewis as an evangelical had a literary view, had a literary inspirational view of Holy Scripture. And so that book's been out for 30 years. And a lot of research has happened since then. And so what I'm working on now is a revision and a expansion of that original book. So my C.S. Lewis on Scripture book is now being rewritten in light of some of the newly published letters of C.S. Lewis that Walter Hooper alerted me were out there and now published in his volumes of collected letters. So there are seven letters that where Lewis addressed himself to the question of inspiration and authority of Scripture and the inerrancy question. So I'm going to incorporate those letters into my revised and expanded edition of C.S. Lewis on Scripture. And then Charlie alerted me and helped me find and read what has been called the Lost Letter of Malcolm, the Lost Letter of to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer, is a letter about Scripture. And it was a letter that Lewis wrote fictionally and prepared for the book Letters to Malcolm, Chiefly on Prayer. But this particular letter or chapter was left out of the published version But Charlie has seen it, and I've seen it and read it, and Charlie has analyzed the handwriting and dated it. But now it's available to scholars to take a look at what this unpublished or now recently published letter has to say about Scripture. Now, granted, it's a fictional book, Letters to Malcolm Chiefly on Prayer, but in this chapter, Lewis reveals how he approaches Scripture. So that's going to be my new chapter one of C.S. Lewis on Scripture. I'll continue working on romantic theology, and there'll probably be a book out of that someday as well, maybe a collaborative volume. But those are the things I'm working on. And for me, William, it's like full circle. I started my academic career focused on C.S. Lewis. Then I left Lewis circles for 20 plus years as I, you know, became a theologian and teacher in doing other kinds of scholarship, other work. And now in my semi-retirement, and now in my part-time work with Northwind as academic dean, I'm back full circle, focused on Lewis, focused on romantic theology, focused on the Inklings. It's just a fruitful, very fruitful time in my life here based in San Diego.
Sounds very interesting. Well, gentlemen, it's been good to learn about the program, and I hope individuals who haven't really gotten familiar with you guys will have benefited from learning some about you. Now let's go ahead and just wrap up here by first, Charlie, let's have you give kind of a recap here. And then earlier I was asking you to maybe note what you've got coming ahead. Of course, people will be listening to this later as well, so it'll be maybe what you had already done. But either way, give us a final summary, Charlie, for you, and then Michael, you can just follow right after him.
Well, the great thing about the program is every couple of months, there's going to be a new class. So coming up in January 2021, we're going to start the C.S. Lewis class. And a few months after that, we'll be getting into the Tolkien class, and I'll be leading that particular class. Then after Tolkien, we'll be going into Barfield. And as the summer progresses, it'll be into the Charles Williams class, and then into the other Inklings and the honorary Inklings class. And then that whole process will rotate and continue. So there'll always be these opportunities to take one of these classes throughout the years. The only regret that I have about this program is that I'm teaching in it, which is to say, this is the doctorate I wish I could be getting. So if you love Lewis, if you love Tolkien, and if you want to learn more about the other Inklings, the Inklings that you maybe don't know quite as much about, if you want to get into Barfield or the bizarre novels of Charles Williams, or if you want to learn some things about Dorothy Sayers and her wonderful ideas about art, then this is the doctorate that you want to jump into. Just a great, great program. And I'm really looking forward to the fun things we're going to be doing in the Lewis class in terms of looking at his theology, looking at his epistemology, looking at his literary theory, and of course, looking at some rare Lewis manuscripts, as well as some other very interesting things. Michael will take us into his theology of Scripture and talk about that lost, if you will, Malcolm letter. So just some amazing things that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that.
There's a lot of people out there who would like to study with Charlie Starr or Crystal Hurd or Terry Gillespie or Michael Christensen. If you want to study with one of us or more of us, or if you'd like to hear the distinguished lectures of experts in the field, meet Owen A. Barfield or Brenton Dickinson, Serena Higgins on Charles Williams, Bishop Seraphim on Charles Williams, Lewis Marcos on apologetics of C.S. Lewis, Malcolm Geit on how Coleridge influenced George MacDonald, who influenced C.S. Lewis and the Inklings, a great connection that Malcolm Geit will give us, or Diana Glyer, whose book on The Company They Keep introduces us to the whole Inklings collaboration. And of course, Michael Ward will meet us in Oxford when we do the Oxford pilgrimage. Michael Ward will be waiting for us there. He lives there, and host us and lecture us when the group goes as a group, either virtually or in person, to do an Oxford pilgrimage course. So if you're interested in that, remember the name Northwind. Northwind, as in George MacDonald, as in the North Wind Blows. northwindseminary.org. If you go to northwindseminary.org website, you'll see six centers. Our center, where Charlie and I are in residence, is called the Center for Romantic Theology. It's called the Center for Theology, Spiritual Formation, and Ministry. And in this Center for Theology, Spiritual Formation, and Ministry is the program Romantic Theology of the Inklings. You'll find this. It's three clicks away. Northwindseminary.org, the Center for Theology and Ministry, and then Romantic Theology. You'll find it there on the front page of the website. I hope you'll go there and contact us. Contact either Charlie or me directly, or and then apply to the program. Ask for a scholarship application as well. Even though this is very affordable, one-fourth of the cost of other seminaries, finances is always an issue, and so we do have some limited scholarships available per course. And I just hope to talk to you more about the program.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, let me close here by thanking you, Michael, for being on the program today.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And Charlie, thank you for being back with us on All About Jack.
Always a pleasure.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, your host, and you've been listening to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Be sure to visit EssentialCSLewis.com for a variety of content, including a series about quotations credited to Lewis that he might not have written. I also have a YouTube channel entitled 90 Seconds to Knowing C.S. Lewis. There's a link in the show notes to it. Today, my guests were Michael Christensen and Charlie Starr from Northwind Seminary, and they were telling about a PhD program that you should consider checking out. You'll find a direct link to it in the show notes, as well as links to my other interviews with Charlie Starr, a frequent guest to All About Jack. Speaking of those notes, you can find them at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show. But it might be just as easy to find them where the podcast is hosted, which is allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes, see the show notes for a direct link to it there, and consider rating my show on iTunes to help others find it. And of course, please consider sharing this show so others can hear it. Before closing out, in case you didn't know, I've written two books related to C.S. Lewis. Buying them is a great way to indirectly support this podcast, so it can continue to be made freely available. In 2018, The Misquotable C.S. Lewis was published. It explores 75 quotations credited to Lewis. Most are not by him, some are paraphrases, and a few are ones that could be misunderstood without more context. Then in 2016, my first book was released. It's an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters, humorously called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. Learn more about it and get a free PDF sample by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.